Good morning. It is your girl, Pastor Courage. I am so glad that y'all are here. I see y'all tuning in from the Bronx, Boogie Down in the building, St. Lucia in the building, Chicagoland in the house. Hey, good morning. Tennessee is in the building. Good morning. Y'all be sure to drop where you are tuning in from. What's up? QC is in the house. I know Connecticut by way of New York is in the building. New York, y'all, you know what? I need to come to New York. That's what I feel like. I feel like I need to come to New York. What's up? Memphis is in the house. How y'all doing? I am so glad that y'all are here with me. Let's get into it. Again, welcome. My name is Pastor Courage Molina. I'm the lead pastor of Dose of Courage Community Church. We are an online global community of women. We're an online global church where, you know, women are falling in love with being in the Word of God. The assignment on this house is to authentically teach the Word of God so that it reflects His true character, so that it is relatable, and so that it can be applied to your life in every season, no matter what stage of life you are in. But guess what? We cannot do this great work without you. We need your support. You're probably wondering, how can we help the church? Let me tell you, first and foremost, you can start to pray. And I mean, sincerely praying for yourself, praying that you would stay committed, praying that you would continue to come, that you would hear a word from God when you come here. Pray for the women whose names you see in the chat, right? Pray for your people when we get into the Zoom. Pray for the women to the left and the right of you, top and bottom of your screen. Be sure to pray for the leadership. We've been called to do great work together. And it is, y'all listen, y'all know what it is when y'all say yes to the call on your life. So pray for the leadership of this church, that we would continue to hear from God, that we would move forward without hesitation, say our names, Courage Molina, Olivia Hayward, Janae Pollard, Laverta Reams, Erica Davenport, Maritza, say our name, Tamika Wren, say the names of the people who are dedicated to the growth of this church. We cannot do this work without your prayers. It's also really important that you go ahead and get your Bible study guide. Listen, you were called to be equipped in the Word of God, and that requires structure, intention, consistency, and discipline. The Bible study guide will help you to do that. Right now, we're studying Mark. You can head on over to couragemolina.org/shop and download the Mark Bible study. It is a 16-week study, and we are just in week 7, so you still have plenty of time to get in and start to grow. We have to study to show ourselves approved as individuals. So that means that Saturday morning church and Sunday morning or Wednesday night Bible study is not enough. We have to devote time to being in the Word of God, and this will help to make that time effective. impactful. You understand what I'm saying? So that you can get a revelation from God. Certainly, it's so important for you to share. Go ahead and take a picture. You can do a snapshot of yourself right now. You can do a screenshot on your phone and share this on your social media handles. Start to invite people. This is on YouTube. It's streaming on YouTube. Yes, we're on Facebook also, but you can go ahead and hit the like button if you're on YouTube. You can hit the subscribe button. Do you understand that by subscribing, liking the videos and commenting in the chat, you are actually helping other women to find us. We are telling YouTube, hey, this is really great content and you need to be sharing this with other women, women who are currently looking for an amazing house of faith. So when you like this, when you subscribe, when you drop a comment, all of those things help us to share the good news that's happening here at Dose of Courage Community Church. And last but certainly not least, you can give a monetary gift. If you go to couragemolina.org/sow a seed, it will take you to the Tithely app. I love the Tithely app, one, because it will send me a notification and be like, hey, did you forget to give? I love that because I want to make sure that I am giving, that I'm not forgetting to give an additional offering. If you are a part of this house, then we believe that if you eat here, then you sow here. You can set up your tithes and offerings there. If this is your first time, you know, first meal is on us. But after that, the commitment and the understanding, the expectation truly is that you would give every week that you are served in this house, even if it's just a dollar. So pray about what God would have you to give and make sure you give before we are done on today. Guess what? Ooh, I'm so excited. First of all, why am I singing? I'm always talking about how I got two homegirls. They always singing in every video they have. They stay singing, but I realize I do a lot of singing too. You know what I'm saying? Like I do a lot of singing also, but it's because I'm so excited this morning. I'm so excited. This is the first time that we have had an opportunity for us to come under the same roof together. So listen, we started just as like a little Bible study. We started as a little Bible study on Saturday morning. It was just seven of us. I sent out a text message. That is how this place got birthed. And so we've been an online ministry since December of 2022. The Lord led us down the road that would have us to claim that we are a church. We just got to start saying, you got to say it. You got to go ahead and get your paperwork in and say you're the pastor. So what's good? I'm the pastor, right? But this is the first time that Dose of Courage Community Church has had an opportunity to get under the same roof. And so I want to invite you to join us to in this time to like really get together at the Faith Ignited Retreat. I'm so excited. It's our first retreat. You heard me say first. It's our first retreat. Now listen, I'm going to give you all the details, but I don't want for you to be like, oh, it's the first one so I can make the next one. You know, I went to Paris in 2019 and it was 6 days. It was great. It was wonderful. When I came back, I had a friend who was like, oh, you didn't go see everything. I was like, no, I didn't go see everything. I saw some things. She was like, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I'm like, no, I'm going to live a life where I travel. Had no idea that there could come a time where I would not be able to travel. Just, it never even entered into my mind that that might be the case. And so I'm telling you that to say, we don't know what's happening tomorrow, man. Stop putting off the things that you want to do for the next time, for the next time, for the next time. If you don't get in this room with us at the Faith Ignited Retreat, it is September 9th through the 11th. Our first session is going to start at 6 p.m. and it's going to end Sunday at 10 p.m. So plan to stay through Monday, right? Don't be like, oh, I'm gonna leave. My flight is out on Sunday. You're going to miss something. Okay. Let your flight be out early Monday. We're going to be there till 10 p.m. is our last session. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Where is it? It's in the Queen City. Yes. This is where we got our start. Charlotte, North Carolina is really the place where, if I'm honest, like I've really met the Lord here. For real. Like I thought I knew him. I heard him. Then I got here and then I really got to know him here in Charlotte. So what better place for our first retreat than the place where it really all got started? Charlotte, North Carolina. It's going to be in the South Park area. It's a beautiful area. Friday night, we're going to check in. We're going to have a delicious welcome dinner. If you know anything about me, you know I'm a foodie. sometimes my husband says I'm picky. People call me bougie. That's not it. I just, I have a sophisticated, you know, I just got sophisticated taste buds. And I don't want to apologize for that. So, you know, the dinner is going to be absolutely amazing. The dress for that night, I know you guys are going to be traveling. I'm going to be super cute. You're cute. So I'm going to be super cute. Please don't think that means I'm going to have on heels. If you are expecting to see me in heels, I will not. So whatever your natural super cute is, like, this is really what I love to wear. And I think I'm super cute and I'm ready for my selfie. That's what I want y'all to wear on Friday. Saturday, we're going to have 7 a.m. morning devotional. I will be leading the devotional every day that we're there. You can come in your pajamas because it's hosted right in the hotel. You can come downstairs in your pajamas. You can come in your loungewear, your athleisure. This is not time for you to like be getting up, beating your face. I will not look like this during the devotionals, just so we're clear. And then 10:30 a.m. starts the morning session. So that gives you time to go out and get breakfast. And there's a ton of places around and there's a restaurant on site. How many of you are coming? If you are coming, drop in the chat, like, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the room. Let us know who's coming. Who can I expect to see at this retreat? Drop in the chat. Let me know. The attire for the entire weekend is really comfortable, casual loungewear, makeup off. I want us to be in their makeup off. One, because you're probably going to be crying because we're going to get some breakthroughs during that weekend. We're going to get free that weekend. We're going to meet ourselves that weekend. We're going to meet Jesus in a new way that weekend. So we're not going to be in makeup. That's not it. I understand that the community that I serve, y'all lead in so many areas of your life. You are leading in so many areas of your life. And so as a leader, I understand that a lot of times when we go somewhere, even though it's for us, we show up like we need to lead in that space. This ain't that. Okay, so you don't have to bring any of that with you. You're just going to come and allow Dose of Courage, Community Church, and our team. You're going to allow us to serve you, to pour into you. Some of you are like, oh, can I help? This is not the time for you to help. This is the time for you to get what you need so that you can go out and continue to help and serve those that you've already been called to help and serve. And it's not at this event, okay? So I want you to come prepared to allow us to serve you, right? Then you got to have some free time. Then we're going to have an 8 p.m. evening session. The attire is bonnets, PJs, and slippers. In case you cannot tell, it is a pajama-themed event, right? Can you see that? It's a pajama-themed session. Still clean face. You can wear lip gloss. I don't want your lips cracking. You can wear a little lip gloss. That's it. Clean face. That's going to be Saturday night. It's going to be amazing. Sunday, again, we'll have devotional. We'll have a 10:30 morning session again. It'll be the same thing. No makeup, none of that, free time. Now, 8 p.m. on Sunday is what starts our farewell. That's the day that's the night that you want to do the things. You want to put your makeup on if you got your makeup. You want to put your lashes on if you got your lashes. You want to look super cute. We're going to provide you with an event t-shirt. It's going to be super cute, designed by our very own Olivia Hayward, of course. And I'm just asking that you guys wear black bottoms. Obviously, there's going to be a photo shoot. There's going to be lots of photos taken during this time. And so I just want you to come prepared. It's going to be at the Hyatt Centric at South Park. You can look it up. They've done a great job of allowing us to get a discount for our people. And so you want to get in. You can book a room. You can share a room. You can get four people in the room. Real talk. $189 night, and y'all can split that four ways. Whatever you got to do to be in a building, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Whatever you got to do to be in the building, do it so that you can get in the building. Look at that hotel. It's so nice. It's very modern. It's so very nice. I love the hotel. I just love everything about it. It's just so gorgeous. That's where I go. How much is it? It's $650. That's it. You like, that's it. Yes, that's it. That's it. That is it. You're going to get your own accommodations. You're going to get your own food. But the $650 covers you for all of the events. You'll be able to attend all the events, all the goodies that we're going to have for you. All the things are covered. Can't pay the $650. That's cool. You can save your spot for $250 until June 30th. You have until June 30th, right, to save your spot. What do you need to do? You just need to register. Choose your payment option. You'll get an email. It'll tell you all the things. And then once you book your hotel, you know, not even once you book your hotel, right now, start preparing and start praying for a life-changing experience. Y'all know, if y'all probably tired of hearing me saying, I don't care. I went to a retreat recently that has absolutely changed, like it re-changed my life. It actually changed my life. And so that's what I want you to experience. I want you to experience a life-changing this is a life-changing opportunity. I've already started praying for y'all, already start praying for the people who are going to be in the room, already praying that God would make a way so that you can get in this space, because I know he has blessings assigned to that day. He has breakthroughs assigned to that day. He has clarities assigned to that day. He has community assigned to that day. Some of you feel like you are alone in this world. Some of you feel like people do not understand. You don't have any real support and you wish you really had a friend. I'm always like, oh, that's my best friend, right? You're like, dang, I wish I had somebody like that. Your best friend is going to be in this space. Come to the space. You feel like you don't have people like you. You don't have community like you. Come to this space. Now, I want to encourage y'all to bring young people, not under the age of 18. Okay. I want to encourage you to bring a young woman with you. I have an intern. She's not an intern anymore. That's going to be there. And she's young. And I'm like, that's a good idea. They need to be in the space so that they can see, right, and get to know, like, up close and personal, women who have finally decided to do the thing that God has called them to do. Like, we're not waiting. We did that. We did the follow the rules. We're not following the rules. We follow the Lord, right? I want you to bring them with you, okay? I want you to bring them with you. I'm super excited. I cannot wait to see y'all, to hug y'all. This energy that you see right now, like, this is my real life energy. And so when I see y'all, don't be acting like you're surprised, because I'm screaming. I scream all the time. Y'all know this. That's going to be so great. I literally cannot wait to meet y'all, to hug y'all. It's going to be good. Okay, let's get to church. Like, can we get to church? Let's get to church. I don't even know how to segue from that, except for to say, what offends you? Maybe I can talk about that, right? Because we're going to be in this space with people we don't know well, we haven't met personally. And so it's like, anytime you get into these new social settings, there's a chance that you could offend somebody or somebody could offend you. What offends you? I wonder, what are the things that offend you? What are some of the things that, you know, get you worked up, have you feeling a certain type of way? This is what I find. I find that I often offend people. I don't mean to. My intention is not to offend you. I'm literally never thinking like, oh, I'm gonna say something rude to this person or whatever. Like, half the time, I don't even know that you were offended until afterwards. And I'm like, oh, was that offensive? I'm sorry. I certainly did not mean to offend you. But I find that I offend people, you know, more often than I intend to. I remember, like, I don't do this anymore. This, what I'm about to tell you, I'm sure I still offend people, but I don't do this anymore. I used to go live because I would have these I was such a crazy person. I used to go live all the time, way more than I go live now. I used to go live all the time. And I also used to have these events. And I would get on the live and be like, I do not want you to support me. I don't want your support, right? I still feel that way, but I just don't say anymore because I know it's offensive. And I know that people are misunderstanding me. But what I'm saying is, don't be coming to my event talking about you came to my event just to support me. Girl, I do not need that. You could come to this event to get what you need. And if you know, when you first hear me saying, don't come to my event to support me, I don't want your support. And I say it with that attitude and I say it with that tone, it really seems rude. It seems very offensive. It seems like I don't appreciate the people who come to my events, and that's not the case. But this is the thing. If you know me and you know who I am, you know I'm not doing it just so I can have people in the room. That for me, what's most important is that people are coming because they need something and they believe that what God has given me is going to help them to move on to the next thing. Not you just in here twiddling your thumbs, scrolling, looking, popping gum. Like, girl, stay home. I don't need that. I don't need you. Like, oh, see how I got an attitude right now? Because that does not make me feel warm and fuzzy on the inside that you would show up to the event just so that you could say you came to be at my event, but you didn't. Because what it feels like, my event does not have any impact on you. That's what it feels like. Feels like the event doesn't have any impact on your life, or you don't value what I have to say. So I don't know, but I'm like, and I'm like, you're like, well, I'm always coming to support you. Well, if that's the only reason you coming, the only reason you coming to support me, don't come. And people used to get so offended, so I don't say that anymore. I just said something the other day that, you know, I offended somebody the other day. I was like, I'm not coming to support you. And I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it the way it came out. But what happened is it was a misunderstanding. I was a misunderstanding. So this is what I found, is that offense often comes as a result of a misunderstanding. So when I say I don't want your support, what I mean is I don't want you to come to an event or do something with me or something that you are not going to get any benefit from unless I'm asking you to volunteer, right? I don't want you to come like, oh, I'm watching your YouTube to support you. You're not coming to church. Like, you're not coming to church for a word. Then you could do something else, girl. It's cool. Go shopping, go do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a misunderstanding. I'm not saying I don't want you in the room. I want you in the room, but I want you in the room because I have a word from God. I want you in the room because I'm about to do this thing that I've been called to do, and I want to be a woman of impact. So if you're only in the room just because we are friends and the words that I'm going to say or the thing that I'm going to do isn't going to have any impact on you, that is failure to me, right? I know it's not my responsibility to make sure people get it, but it's my responsibility to deliver it. And so I have a heart that you would get a revelation, that you would be inspired. There would be some type of application, and there would be some things that would transform in your life. So when I say that, when people get offended, it's a misunderstanding. When I said I'm not coming to support you, it was a misunderstanding. I'm saying I'm coming because what you have is amazing, because it is helping me, because it is changing me, because it's benefiting me, because it's exactly what I prayed for. And now you're doing it. I'm not just coming because we're friends, right? But there was an offense there, but it's because there was a misunderstanding, right? And I think that a lot of times offense comes from, you know, somebody had a misunderstanding. As I read chapter 7 this week, I was actually, offended a lot, actually, as I read chapter 7. When I first started it, I started reading it, I was offended a lot of times. It turns out, like, right at the start of chapter 7, in Mark chapter 7, for those of you like, what chapter 7 of what? Mark chapter 7. It turns out that, you know, people are offended for lots of different reasons. I think the foundation of it, the root of it, really is misunderstanding. But I think that people are offended for a couple of reasons that I want us to talk about today. Some today take offense to the disregard of sacred traditions. We always did it this way. We always had Thanksgiving over here. We always ate this food. We always hung out like this. We always celebrated it this way. This is the way that our family did it. This is the way that we've been raised. This is the way that we've been taught. And so sometimes, you know, some people today take offense because you're not doing the things the way they feel like it should be done, the way you were taught to do it, the way it was always done. And when we look at Mark chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, we can see that the Pharisees felt that way as well. Read with me Mark chapter 7. Listen, we're going to be all over chapter 7 today, so go ahead and get your Bible out. We're going to be all over chapter 7. We can see that the Pharisees, so let me set this up. So Jesus had been preaching, you know, all over the place. He had been in, you know, synagogues and stuff, and he had been healing folks, and they heard about it. And so now, as we start in chapter 7, they are coming there, not because they want to be taught by Jesus, not because they're interested in what he's teaching. They're coming to check him out to see, like, is he as good as everybody says? Let's see what kind of teacher he is. Is he a real teacher? Is he teaching things the way they should be? or is he a false teacher? Is he leading, you know, the people astray? We want to check him out. We're not really sure about him. So the religious leaders, the Pharisees, are like, we're going to go. The scribes, who are often like teachers of the law, they're going to come. They're coming to see Jesus, not to learn from him, but to give him an assessment, to assess his skills. And so I'm reading from the NIV. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? They're offended because Jesus and his disciples are ignoring tradition. They are showing a disregard for the way things have been done, the way Moses has set it up, the way the law has been set it up, the way they have expanded it to mean what they've expanded even the law to mean. They are trying to figure out, if you are here for the children of Israel, if you are here for the, you know, the people of God's covenant, then why are your disciples the people who are following you? Because they judge the teacher by the behavior of the disciples, right? That's how I know if you're a good teacher or not, or were your disciples doing the right thing. And that's why they're talking to him. They're like, okay, you're supposed to be this great teacher and you're this great rabbi. Everybody talking about you, you're so great. But your boys, these people following you, these disciples of yours, they're not even doing what they are supposed to do according to tradition. So sometimes, you know, people are offended because you are refusing to follow tradition. That's not the way we did it. We did it this way in this family. This is the thing that we expect for you to do, right? But a disregard for traditions aren't the, maybe that's not why you get offended. Maybe you don't care that people not doing it. Now, I'm gonna say this. Maybe you don't care that people not doing it the way you feel like they should be doing it. They're not doing it the same way. They're not doing it the old way. But I wonder if that is true when it comes to your kids. I wonder if your kids are living and doing and thinking things in a different way that's different from the tradition of how you were raised. And I wonder if that bothers you. I wonder if you take that to heart. I wonder if you are offended, bothered, frustrated by the fact that they're not doing things the way that you think they should be done because it's the way it was always done. I wonder if you think that the way they are interacting and communicating and being in community and how they are getting the word. I know there are certainly a lot of people who feel a type of way about an online church. I myself wondered what people would say about the fact that Dose of Courage Community Church, I mean, if people are offended by tradition, then Dose of Courage Community Church is one of the most offensive churches that you could ever find, okay? If people are offended by a disregard for tradition, then Dose of Courage Community Church is probably on their list. One, we meet on Saturday. And even though church is on Saturday, we are still a regular church. We are not like 7 day. We not declaring nothing. We just regular, y'all. We're just a regular church who happens to meet on Saturday. That is not, you know, don't read us meeting on a Saturday. There's no theology behind that. It's just, we are this way because this is the way the Lord set it up. You know, it was a Bible study on Saturday and now it's the church. So one, that's not traditional. So that's a problem. Two, we ain't got praise and worship. Tradition, that's a problem. We very offensive. Three, lead pastor is a woman. What? Can women even pastor? Listen, if people are about tradition, somebody is offended by the church you go to, right? I'm just trying to tell you right now. Somebody is offended. The fact that it's online, the fact that we don't meet in person, all of these things, we are not holding to the tradition of how things were set up. Like, oh, y'all aren't doing it the way they did in the Bible, and the word say it is. Like, oh, like, what they're talking about it was a ceremonial thing for them to clean their hands, but it wasn't just something that they came up with. It was something, now it didn't really apply to them, it applied to the priest. And so they kind of extended that beyond, but it was a law. It was something that they were supposed to do. It was prescribed that people would wash their hands, right? If they were going to touch something that might've made them, you know, like this ritual, this uncleanliness, right? Not like my hands are dirty, but I might be unclean because of something I touched, or I might be unclean because somebody bumped into me at the market or whatever, right? I mean, it's based on something. So, you know, but they mad, right? They're offended that they are disregarding tradition. So sometimes that's why people get offended, right? Because you don't respect tradition. Or sometimes you're mad because somebody's not respecting tradition, the tradition that you raised them in your house. And so it's like, now we're offended, right? That's not the only time people are offended. Listen, I don't know. Let's read this. Let's go to Mark 7, verse 27 through 28. I told y'all we were going to hop all over. Listen, now I'm just talking to people who will be honest enough to say, I just want you to be honest enough to tell me how you really feel about this verse that I'm about to read to you. Right? It's Mark 7, verses 27 through 28. First, let the children eat all they want. This is Jesus, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Let me just read that one more time. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Now, every time, like I listened to this on Dwell 100 times, every time I heard it, I was offended. Every time I read it, I just feel a way. I know he's Jesus, like I get it, but I definitely felt away. Is there anybody who felt away? I took offense to how Jesus spoke to the Syrophoenician woman. So he's doing his thing. He's traveling. He gets to this house. This lady finds out that he's at this house before he can even close the door. Good. She's there. She gets down on her knees. She is kneeling before him, right? Mark tells us that she is Syrophoenician. She is Greek. That means she's a Gentile. She is not Jewish. And she is kneeling down before Jesus, our Jesus, who we love so much, our Messiah, who is so great and so wonderful. And she says, I have a child who is at home right now. My daughter is at home and she is possessed by a demon. The devil has grabbed her. I need you to heal her. And his response to her is, first, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Child, listen, some people are taking offense to the word of God. I felt away. Anybody felt to? Nobody. I'm the only one. I'm wondering if you felt, because I felt away. Did y'all feel away when y'all read it? When I read that, listen, let me tell you something. I'm a Black woman in America and I'm asking for help. And he said, first, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And then she said, Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. I felt away. Like, I know he Jesus and I know he the Messiah, but I'm a Black woman in America. Okay, so I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't even understand why he got to talk to her like that. I have heard this preached before. It's never been preached in a way that made me feel good about it. Some right now today, myself included, some right now today are taking offense to the word of God. They're offended by what the word says. They're offended about how it's been said. They're like, I mean, this is just right here. It's right here. And to say it right here, Lord, she first let the children eat all they want. He told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Like, did this man just call me a dog? Like, I get it. I know he's Jesus. And I know her daughter's going to get healed because I get to read on. But you gotta, when you're studying the Bible and you're reading the Bible, if you skip ahead to like how it turns out, you miss the opportunity to really experience, right, in your mind and just really explore. That's the word I'm looking for. You miss the opportunity to explore the emotions behind the scripture, because these are real people. How would you feel? Your daughter is sick. Your daughter is dying, and you went to him. You found out where he was. You were asking, "Hey, you saw? I was looking for this man." You went. You found out where he was. You went to him. You knelt before him. You did not go to him with an entitlement. You went to him, and he was like, "This food is for the kids. It's not good for me to throw at the dogs." What? I cannot. Like, that's. I'm offended. I mean, I'm being honest. I'm offended by that. It bothered me that you never studied the word. People are studying the word of God, reading the word of God, pulling scriptures out of the word of God. And some of the scriptures, when pulled out, are offensive. I'm offended by the way he talked to her. I felt away and I couldn't get away from it. I could not. I listened to this chapter all week long. I could not get away from feeling offended. I don't see y'all talking in the chat. Am I really the only one? Nobody else? Nobody else was offended? Like, I know her response was like, it showed a lot of humility, but real talk, I came to you for help and you talking about you can't give it to, you act like I'm a dog. I'm offended. Like, just think about my temperament, I'm about to be quick with my words too, but those words are probably not going to be it. It's probably not going to be what she said. My actual child, not like a fictitious, like my one of the ones I gave birth to, and I came to you because I was told you could help her, and then you really want to look at me and act like I'm a dog. Like, no, sir, I don't, no. I'm a feel away. Like, what we doing? What we talk, like, maybe that's just me. Cool. Some people are offended by the word, what the word is saying. Listen, not let me read again. Let me read it for the 17th time. Her response is better than mine. It's no way in real life that I'm going to be standing in front of somebody and they're going to talk to me like that. It's no way. It's no way. I'm trying to tell you right now. It's no way. I definitely took offense to it, and I couldn't shake it. So I just wrote it down. I want y'all to read with me Mark 7:33. I'm trying to read with me Mark 7:33. Because when I tell y'all, when I read this, like when I was reading chapter 7 over and over, I felt offended a lot. I felt offended a lot. Now, the word is the truth. The word is the truth. And I'm telling you, when I'm telling you I was in my feelings about this. I'm like, now, Lord, I really rock with you. Like, I really rock with you. And at the same time, I feel away. Let's look at Mark chapter 7, verse 33. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit. I could stop right there. I'm going to go ahead and read it. I'm going to go ahead and read it, though. You know what I'm saying? Let me read it one more time so I can read it all the way through. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. I'm offended by that spit. Like, that is disgusting. I know y'all are like, oh, it's Jesus. But I'm saying this is not a fictitious character. This is not something that didn't, this actually happened. Okay, so this man is mute and deaf. And so the crowd brings him to Jesus. And they want to like, here, heal him. Lay your healing hands on him, heal him. And so Jesus takes the man off to the side. And he takes the man off to the side because these people are really bringing him there. Like, Jesus is a magician. Like, oh, we want to see you. Do it. Dance, monkey dance. You know, that type of thing. And Jesus is like, I ain't got time for that. So he pulls the man off to the side. And he puts his fingers in his ears. And he's put spit on his tongue. Now, listen, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, who we know has the power to tell a dead person to get up because we've seen it already, right? They say the girl was dead, the girl not dead. We know that this Jesus is a Jesus who, if you just touch a garment, you know, you just touch a thread, a tassel, you can get healed. That's what this is. So tell me, why are you using spit? Because that's disgusting, right? Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, I know that we, listen, let me tell y'all something. When you're getting in this word, don't be glossing over your real actual human things, because that's what keeps you from having strong faith when things get tough. You need to explore those real feelings. And the fact of the matter is, if you went to a doctor and he spit in your mouth, you would not be like, oh, you wouldn't even have a chance to get healed. You wouldn't even have a chance to get healed, okay? You would immediately feel some type of way. That is disgusting. I know Jesus spit, but can we be honest? Can we just please? Listen, Linda, okay? I want you to listen. Cool, you put your fingers in my ear, cool. But you put spit in my mouth. That's not as cool. It's not as cool. No. Babies, right? She said mothers put spit on their babies. Babies, I'm a grown woman. I'm a grown woman, and you ain't none of my mama. So, no. No. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not like this now because I love Jesus. The Lord has changed me. But I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, before I became who I am, you ain't got to say nothing to me. But if you spit on me, I ain't got no words for you. Do you hear me? You understand what I'm saying to you? Like, cool. I'm trying to tell you right now, man, you're not about to spit on me. That is disgusting. No. Mm-mm. And I heard about you, but I haven't seen you do it. I heard that you could heal people, but I've never heard that you spit in nobody's mouth before. So why are you spitting in my mouth? Like, no, let's just keep it 100. If you spit on me, I'm telling you right now, if somebody spit on me before I knew Jesus, we're not about to argue. We're not arguing, okay? I'm going to lay these healing hands on you. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm going to lay these healing hands on you. I'm about to heal you because you lost your mind. You spit on me. You understand what I'm saying? I was offended so many times. Like, I'm just reading it and reading it. I'm like, bruh. This is a lot. But you know what I said at the beginning? I started out by saying a lot of times when we are offended, it's because, no, I would not have been volunteering. Not for my brother. No, you're not about to put spit on me. No. I'm telling y'all. It's going to be a misunderstanding. I'm telling you right now, if you spit on me, we're going to have a misunderstanding. It's going to be, I promise you, it's going to be a misunderstanding. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. All of those offenses, every offense, the offended because of tradition, offended because of how he spoke to her, offended by the spit, right? That is all a place of like misunderstanding. You're offended because you don't really understand what is happening. You're offended by the truth, right? Because I'm about to tell you, you're offended by the truth, but it's because you don't understand. They were offended. It was true. Listen, it was true. There was a tradition of washing their hands. And honestly, we're washing our hands also like to be clean before we eat. I want to be eating with you and wash our hands. So there's some truth there. That was a tradition, that there was some ceremonial cleaning. Now they took it to the extreme, right? But what the part that they missed, right? They were offended because of the truth. The truth is, there is a tradition, and he was truly disregarding the things that had been set up. And we know for a fact that this is not the first time that Jesus has had a total disregard for tradition, We know that. Don't act like this is the first time, because it's not. This dude stay healing people on the Sabbath. Stay telling people, pick up your mat and walk on the Sabbath, right? Allowing his disciples to eat and pluck grain on the Sabbath, right? So let's not act like Jesus didn't come in ignoring traditions. He absolutely did. Listen, but they weren't offended by that. That's not why they're offended. They were offended by the truth. And the truth is they didn't understand the law. They didn't understand what those traditions represented. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Let's get some understanding. Let's go to Mark 7. Verse 17 through 23. I want y'all to read that with me. They were upset. The Pharisees are upset that Jesus and his disciples aren't washing their hands. And so they're offended that he's not doing this thing. But they're really offended by the truth because they misunderstand it. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable because he explained the parable. And he asked them, "Are you so dull?" He asked, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them?" Jesus is saying, y'all are missing it. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. This is not about you washing your hands and all of that. This is about the purity of your soul, the purity of your spirit, and nothing that you put on from the outside to the inside is going to do anything to you. It cannot defile them, for it doesn't go into their heart, but it goes into their stomach. So whatever they're eating, whatever they touch, that thing is not going into the heart of them, because that's where defiling happens. Defiling doesn't happen with dirty hands. Defiling doesn't happen with dirty food. Defiling happens with a dirty heart. And so therefore, it's not what goes in, for it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of their body. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. What comes out of their mouth is not what goes into their mouth, because that goes into their stomach. What comes out of your mouth is what defiles you, for it is from within. Out of a person's heart, that evil thought comes. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. The Pharisees were offended by the truth. And the truth is, you worried about washing your hands, but you're not worried about washing your heart. The Pharisees were offended, not because he wasn't following tradition, but because they didn't understand that God wasn't trying to change them on the outside, that the purpose of the law was to change them on the inside, that Jesus came so that they wouldn't be following law, so that they could look good and they could get a t-shirt up to their neck and they could have skirts down to their ankles, that God wasn't concerned about looking pious and he wasn't concerned about you looking righteous. He wanted you to be concerned about what was coming up out of you, the thoughts, your motivation, the things that you're doing, your behavior. He's concerned about those things. Those are the things that defile you. They actually reveal that there is uncleanliness in your heart. They were offended because they didn't understand. They were offended by truth. And the truth is, you are more focused on what's going on the outside. You're not concerned about the state of your heart. And he goes on to talk about how they continue to ignore the essence of what God has created, and thereby putting the law, their own law, extending their own family traditions so that they don't have to keep God's word. The truth is, you are more concerned about looking saved and feeling saved and people liking you than actually cleaning out your heart. Because if you would focus to clean on, to take care of your heart, you wouldn't be worried about what people are doing on the outside. They were offended by the truth. And the truth was, they were focused on the wrong thing. When I read the story about the lady, I felt a type of way. I was offended by the truth. It's in the word. I mean, I didn't make it up. I'm reading it. He talked to that lady like she was a dog. He said it, and then she responded in a way. But I want you to understand some things, right? That I was offended. Come on, Jesus. I was offended because I didn't understand. I was offended because I'm offended by the truth of what he said because I didn't understand. Let me explain something to you. This woman is a Syro-Phoenician Greek. And he is in a city where, you know, at the time of David, they were cool. But at the time of Elijah, this city and their people, this culture, they took joy and they were excited when the children of Israel were given over to the Babylonians. They was over there celebrating, throwing parades, because that meant that they would be able to take over the land that the Jews had previously had possession over when they were taken over into exile. So this is not just some random woman who's on the outside. These are people who had put up you know, they didn't follow the same God. Their hearts weren't towards God. Their hearts were against the people. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were not friends. They were not friends of the people of God. That her culture, where she came from and what they did, right? At the time that this is going on, for the record, at the time that this is going on, they turned to doing evil things. Do you hear what I'm saying? But because we don't understand who she is, we identify with the person who needs the help, but we don't understand who she is or the time or the season or the climate. This is a people, Syro-Phoenician Greeks at the time in the city that she was in. See, if you lived at that time, right? The book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark, was written for a Gentile community. And so the Gentiles would have known when he described her as a Syro-Phoenician, it would have given the Gentiles insight that it did not give you. That it did not give me. It would have given you insight. You would have known to know that she was a Syro-Phoenician Greek. You would have known her background. You would have understood the history between her people and God's chosen people. You would have understood that they took pride and excitement, that they rejoiced in the downfall of the children of Israel. You would have understood that. And so you might not have been as offended as you were if you realized that she represented a group that was really trying it when it came to the children of Israel. I also want to go back to what he said. He said in verse 27, after she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter, he said, first, let the children eat all they want. Do you know what that means? He means, let them go first. Not that you don't have a turn. Not that you don't have a turn. Not that you ain't gonna be none for you, but first, let me give it to the children. They can eat all they want. He told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Now, when I read dogs, I thought of how the Jews refer to sometimes Gentiles as being like savage, disgusting dogs, right? Like as being less than. And that's why I say like some things get lost in translation. Let me just do this real quick. So it's the New Testament is translated from the Greek. And so whatever the Greek word used at the time, it meant dog. But the word that Jesus used for dog is not like a wild dog. He meant dog like a pet, which you would have known if you were Gentile Greek, which is who it was. This book was written for in its original setting. It was written for that. So again, there's some misunderstanding because I don't understand that he's not talking about somebody that's out. He's talking to a woman. While the Jews might not have had dogs as pets, she is a woman who in their culture, they would have had dogs as pets. It was possible that they would have had dogs as pets. And he used the word for pet, not like wild, savage, derogatory dog. And I know that there's still a little thing there, but Jesus is showing us here that there is a covenant between God and his chosen people of Israel, that salvation would come to them first, that healing would come to them first. Not that it wouldn't go to other people. It is the covenant that God made with Abraham. And so Jesus is upholding that covenant to say that let the children of Israel eat first. Right? Lord, she replied, even the dogs on the table eat the children's crumbs. He said, you can eat what's left. Now, if you go back a little bit, if you go back to chapter 6, right, if you go back a little bit, then you know that Jesus just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he had something, he broke it up, he prayed over it. How much was left? He fed those people first. Come on, come with me. Let's talk Bible for a little bit. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He broke it up. What was left? After he fed them, were there crumbs left? There were 12 baskets left. He fed all the people that needed to be fed. He fed all the people out there, and there was still plenty left. He's not implying, He's not implying what you can just take the little bit that's left. He's not implying that there's going to be a little bit left. And what she's saying, Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Even the dog under the table eat the children's crumbs. She's speaking her faith in God, right? I know y'all think like, oh, she came to Jesus so Jesus can heal her. It's a misunderstanding. It's because we're missing stuff. So in this town, there would be people that would come through, magicians, healers, pagan believers, right? Not people who were empowered by God, not people who were anointed by God. And so there were people who were coming in, doing stuff and doing tricks and saying that they could heal people and all of this. So Jesus being in town, somebody saying that he could heal, it's not the first time that somebody has come to town doing some type of tricks. It's not the first time. And so we assume that she came to Jesus because we know who Jesus is. We also assume that she came to Jesus knowing that he was the Son of God because we don't know the culture and we don't understand that that was a thing. People were coming. That was their belief. People were coming to that town, right? Pagan believers, other gods, people who believed in other gods and believed that they had some power in all of those things, right? We saw in Exodus that Pharaoh's men were able to mimic some of the things that Moses did, right? We saw that in Exodus that, so I don't want you to think like, oh, but they never did anything. No, this was a part of the culture. People were coming through. This was a part of their pagan beliefs. They worshiped other gods and they could get this and they could do this and they could heal that. So she might've come to Jesus, but Jesus, in this sense, it's like, okay, she came to me. Let's see where her faith is. Is her faith in the tricks? Well, let me see where your faith is at. And the truth is, I didn't come for you. I came for the children of God. That's the truth. You're offended by the truth. You're offended that God is going to cover you before he covers the outsider. You're offended that you've been called the head and not the tail. You're offended that you've been called first. No, you relate to her because you see yourself as somebody who needs something. But when you understand that you are children of God, you know, now we're not that offended because I too am a child of God. I'm not offended that I get to eat first. My family eats first. My husband eats first in this house. You could be a guest, you could come. But if I didn't know you were coming or if you weren't invited, you're not about to eat before my kids. You're not. You're not about to eat before my kids. Once my kids and my people eat, then you can eat. Maybe I got a ton of food, right? And I know there's going to be plenty left. But she's also showing her faith when she says, man, even the dogs get the crumbs, though. She's saying, all I need is a little bit. I don't need a whole loaf. All I need is a little bit. I just need a little bit. He gave her an opportunity to show her faith, right? We're offended by the truth. Jesus came for the covenant, for the people of the covenant, for God's children. God's children were set apart. I know that when we read the Bible, we immediately think like, oh, I'm set apart. I was a part of the, but his covenant was with the children of Abraham. We getting it second. We getting the crumbs. You know what I'm saying? Like we getting it second. But I know that when we read it, we feel like, oh, we are part of that, but you're not Jewish. And so, you know what I'm saying? This word was for them first. God made the covenant with Abraham. Salvation came to the children of God first. That's the truth. The truth is also that he has a power that doesn't run out. His ability to heal doesn't run out. And so then what happens as a result? He said, then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon was gone. She got her blessing. I would have been offended. I probably would have missed my blessing. While we pretend like we are not offended when people say slick stuff to us, a lot of us, if we are honest, we would have been offended and we might have missed our blessing. We might have gone home and been like, well, he said they got to eat first. Right? Oh, he said they got to eat first. We offended because we misunderstood. And then we would have missed our blessing. The last one, you know, with the spit. It's not just that he spit, right? Us really started to think about that. And so I want to go back to 7:33. I don't want you to miss it. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And I just thought about that. I was like, that is, he used spit, which is really gross. But I don't want you to miss this, because I think that when we have a misunderstanding, then we get offended and then we miss our blessing, right? The Pharisees misunderstood what needed to happen. And they were offended by the truth that they were more concerned about looking righteous than being righteous. And they missed the blessing of transforming their lives to be more like Christ. They missed the blessing of being able to follow Christ. You understand what I'm saying? They missed that. We're offended by the way that people say things to us. I'm offended because of the way you said it or why you said it, but it's because I misunderstood what was happening. And so if I misunderstood and now I'm offended, I'm probably going to walk away. I'm not going to stay at your church. I'm not going to stay in your community. People are leaving churches all the time. You didn't like what the pastor said. You didn't like how the pastor said it. You didn't like how they was talking to you. But sometimes what they're saying is the truth. But because you're offended, you are missing the opportunity to get the transformation. You're missing the opportunity to get the healing. I don't want us to miss this in verse 33 that he used the spit. I started thinking about that. The fact that he used spit reveals to us that Jesus can use anything. That spit, which is gross, served God's purpose. It brought healing and glory to God. I'm going to say this to you and you might be offended. You are like the spit. You like the spit. And I know that don't feel good to hear, but it's the truth. That's why I know people get mad about the truth. We like the spit. We the spit. Are you offended when I call you the spit? Because I say, oh, you, we the spit. You the spit. I'm the spit. We the spit. Here's the thing. The spit is like such a small thing. It doesn't seem like a great thing. You've been positioned by the hand of God in the place that you're in right now. You have been called to serve, heal, to deliver, and to lead. You, just like the spit, are possessing the power, authority, anointing of God. You are effective when applied appropriately. You are called to be a woman of massive impact. And when you do what God has called you to do, it brings glory to God. Do you understand? You want to be used by God, and that's a blessing. You want to be wildly successful, and that's a blessing. You want to have massive impact, and that's a blessing. But you are offended that you are not more than you are right now, right? You wish that you had more education. You wish that you had a better standing. You wish that you had a greater platform. You wish that people knew who you were. You wish that you were more successful. You wish that you had more credibility. You wish that you had more experience. You wish that you had more credentials, more education, that you had backing, that you had validation, that somebody gave you, that man gave you authority and gave you permission to do the thing. You wish that the people around you didn't see you like the lowly thing that you feel like you are. But this is the thing. If God can use the spit, then baby, he can use you too. What about your situation offends you? What about your calling offends you? What is the thing that you feel like you lack? I feel like I ain't got the things that I need. I feel like I'm not positioned properly. It feels unfair to me. It seems that when I get ready to do things, everybody else seems to be succeeding. I don't understand why my marriage is this way. I see this one over here, she don't even appreciate her marriage, and her marriage is going great, and I'm standing over here, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing, but you're offended by your position. You're offended, but guess what, baby girl? God is chosen you. He's chosen you with that position to show that he can use anything, that it's about his power, that it's not about you, that he can do anything through a willing vessel. The spit is willing. I wonder if you are. The spit was willing to be used by God. The spit didn't put up a fight, but you refuse to do the thing that God has called you to do because you feel some type of way about what he's called you to do. I felt a type of way about being an online ministry. I'm like, this is a fake ministry. This ain't even real. You can't give a girl a building. Can we not meet in person? I felt a type of way. But the truth is, if God can use spit, baby girl, he can use you. Me and spit, we the same. We both been used by the hand of God. We were both given our purpose by God. We were both given our anointing by God. We were both in the hands of God, placed exactly where he wanted me to be. I have the anointing, the power to heal, to lead, to deliver. You understand what I'm saying? The same thing is true for you, but you are offended that you don't have all the things, right? I wonder what about your situation is so upsetting to you. You are offended that God didn't call you this, that God didn't give you that, that you didn't have this thing happen for you. You out here watching, well, look, these people got this and they got that over there. I wonder what about your situation offends you. What don't you understand? What is the thing that's going on in your life that you don't understand that's keeping you from being used by God? Understanding that. If I don't understand, if I'm offended by my situation, if I'm offended, I'm upset, I don't feel like I'm all these things or whatever, it keeps me from my blessing. Because the truth is, you want to be used by God. And baby girl, that's a blessing. The truth is, you want to live out your purpose. That's why he's placed you where you are. That's a blessing. The truth is, you want to be a woman of impact and you want to be wildly successful. That's a blessing. But you are not out here doing the work. You're not out here serving. You're not showing up consistently. You're not standing in the gap. You're refusing to pray. He put you in this position for a reason. It's to show that I can use anybody. I can use anything. I can use any situation. There isn't a situation, person, or thing in the hand of God that won't go out and do the thing that called that God has placed them to do. There ain't a thing. Y'all know I love to wonder. I wonder what offense you carry. I wonder, you know what? It's true. I was a teen parent. That's true. That's the truth. It's true. I used to cuss like a sailor. That's the truth. How can I be mad when somebody say that I ain't got no training? How can I be mad? Why am I offended by the truth? But you know what? I could be used by the Lord just the same. Well, God, why didn't you allow me to do such and such and such? I wish I could do such and such. No, I'm not going to be offended about it. It's the truth. It's true. I'm not a dog. It's true. I didn't go to seminary. That's true. My husband's not in ministry. That's true. We ain't got a building. That's the truth. We often are offended by the truth because we don't understand that while those things are true, God can still use you. I wonder if you don't feel like you can be used by God because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because that's really where it starts, right? Like this foundation, this real thing that's going to give you, you feel like you can't be used by Jesus because you don't have a relationship with him. You don't understand your positioning. You don't understand your situation. You don't understand your circumstance. You don't know how you could still be effective because you are not doing things with Christ. You haven't become one with Christ. And so I want to invite you to get into a relationship today. I want to invite you to partner with him today. I don't want you to be out here doing this thing on your own. Yeah, by yourself. By itself, spit ain't much. By myself, I can't do that much. By yourself, you're right. You can't do that much. But when you partner with Jesus, right, when you become one with Christ, and so I want to help things change in your life, and that starts with a relationship with Christ. So I want you to say this prayer with me. Lord, I come asking for the forgiveness of my sin. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that your son Jesus died for me so that I could have eternal life. I believe Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask that you come into my heart, become Lord of my heart and Lord of my life. I cannot do this work without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you said it and you believed it, that means you're part of the family. Welcome, friends. Welcome, welcome. We are so excited to have you. Now you can actually do the work. Now you got the power you need to do the work that you've been called to do, because God can use anything. Anything in his hands is powerful. Now you have submitted your life over into the hands of God, and so now you can do it. There isn't anything you can't do without God. You understand what I'm saying? You got the Lord with you. Child, ain't nothing I can't do. You understand? I would love to hear from you. Send us an email at praise@couragemolina.com so that someone from our care team can get in touch with you and start to help you get on this faith walk, put some resources in your hand and help you to get connected. Maybe you've been, you know, just kind of falling off the wagon, and so today you decided to rededicate your life to Christ. We want to hear about that too. Go ahead and send an email to praise@couragemolina.com and let us know so that we can get you connected, we can get you plugged in, so that you can fall, you know, come back to the fold, friend. We're so excited to have you back. I hope that this has blessed you. Be sure to subscribe to this channel and hit the like button, like it, share it, drop a comment. Let us know how this church is blessing you. And if you were blessed by this message and you want to help us continue to spread the gospel, the good news about what a person could be with God, then go ahead and give your offering today at couragemolina.org/sow a seed so that you can sow seed into this good soil. Now, listen, we are not done. This is just part one. Come and join us for conversation. I want to give you the opportunity to speak the revelation that you got and to declare the application that you will use. It's not enough for us to hear a good word. We have to be both hearers and doers of the word of God. Revelation comes to bring us inspiration so that, you know, we can get to a place of completely transforming our lives. We want to become more and more like Christ, and that does not happen outside of community. So come and join us. I'll see you over there. All right, I love y'all. See y'all in a minute.